This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design reflectors as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Amber Clements. Welcome back. For those that don't know, Amber is a 1-3 reflector with the right angle cross of the four ways. She's an international author, a teacher, coach, certified human design mentor, drum roll. She's also now the founder of the Australian College of Human Design. So exciting. It's been 2 years, just about 2 years since you were on this podcast, Amber. And you know what? You were the first ever guest that I had on. So it's so beautiful to have you back.
And what a wonder. And so much has happened in that last 2 years as well, hasn't it? It's been an incredible journey for you.
Yes, it has for all of us. Mm. And the people that we've met. And Let's talk about you. I think most people know you, but would you mind giving a little bit of an intro into you?
Sure. I used to love talking about myself when I was younger, but I'd much prefer just to listen these days. But I've been doing this for a while. My focus, I wrote the book about human design reflectors a while back, and that, you know, I started off working with a lot of reflectors, but my focus these days is to work with everybody or all the types. I don't know what to share these days about myself. As I said, my focus is really about being of service. I'm in that part of my career now where I'm just really feeling the blessings of being able to serve and to be able to help other people see the beauty in their chart. And really, I think tapping into that ability of us as reflectors to just hold space for people and to really be the container they need for them to evolve and to show them what they want to see, when they want to see it, if they want to see it, and if not, just hold the space and be there and know that they're back, you've got their back. And that's, I'm just really, really, it's bringing me a lot of fulfillment.
So yeah, really, it comes with age and wisdom, doesn't it, dear friend?
Doesn't it ever?
So you've been roughly in this experiment, you're coming on 7 years or so now, haven't you? A bit longer?
Yeah. So just shy of 7 years, yeah.
Yeah. And have you found that, especially in this last couple of years, I've heard this, it's around that, 5 to 6 years where you really start to notice it. As you said, you've really just dropped into being a little bit more present. And have you found, would you like to share something on that?
Probably the last year has been a really interesting journey for me. As much as it is about, I'm the way that I take things in is by sharing with others. You know, like some of us are very good at really integrating inwardly. Mine has always been, my whole process through my life has been through sharing with others, my process deepens with my knowledge and my understanding. And I think that's what's really happened the last year is like I've been tempted to go to my old ways of pushing and being out there in a way that feels like I need to keep up and I need to be on top of things. But what has been really beautiful is I've really found myself being at peace with not being at the front, not being out there all the time. Like really just what's important for me. I know right now that moment when I'm just fully present and aware, and whether that's just standing out in my yard, listening to, you know, the beautiful birds that seem to come in every afternoon, or whether that's just hanging out with a nephew or a family member, or it's just lovely to be in that space and just be really, really held by it and by being in that present aware moment. And that's what it's really about. I think all the other stuff is fabulous. Like I love the drive that I've got within me to do things, as I'm sure, you know, you probably, you know, that thing of being able to be of service and do all those wonderful things. But just to know that the best and the happiest and the most content times is just being in the stillness of being like, it's just me with whoever or no one, and just really feeling into that and being happy with not having to be anything more and not needing to be anything more. That's been, I think, the biggest learning.
I love that you say that, because it's been something that I've navigated as well this year of, you know, just being, I had to take that forced rest when I broke my hand. And all of a sudden it was like trying to get the wheels back on, or, you know, put the training wheels back on the bike to get going again. And I'm like, what is the point? It was a real, like, what just, I love what you were saying there, because it really felt like that. It's like, why do we have to do all these things? Or why do we push ourselves? Why can't we just be and stare at the sky and the clouds? Doesn't pay the bills. But I really like what you said there, because I feel it too. Sometimes we, even though we know and we've read all the text and we've done all the experimenting, it's still a matter of we can get caught in it.
Mm. And also there's something I think in having to be seen doing it as well. Like sometimes it's just seeing yourself in it. That's that beautiful awareness, I think, in just, it's okay if no one ever knows me and no one ever sees me do anything amazing. But if I feel just good being me in my moment, that's enough. And I think that's the bit that I got. It's just, I'm enough. I don't need anything else. Anything else is just a lovely piece of, you know, the journey.
I love that. And you really found this as well when you went to Italy. It was a couple of months ago, wasn't it? And you were documenting it, and I was living my life vicariously through you. And then all of a sudden you just stopped, and you I think you even spoke about it and just went, no, I just wanted to be in the moment myself.
Yeah. My trip to Italy, I love to travel, and travel's always been a way. And I've worked out now my little routine or my pattern is about every 3 months I should travel. Like that's when it would be of most benefit to me. Not always available. You know, that's not always possible. But that time in Italy, I had intentions to do other things, but why am I feeling like I need to be, you know, posting something or saying something or contacting someone? You know, like if somebody needs me and reaches me, they'll be able to find me. If there's work opportunities lost in that space, then that's the way it is. Like, let's just enjoy this. And it really was so nice just to be. In fact, coming back from that month of being, it took me a week or so to really get myself back into, okay, now there's things I need to probably do. I can't just keep being. I mean, I can keep some of that balance, but I have, you know, have responsibilities and things to come back into. But it was nice just to switch off. I think we all need to do it now and then, you know, just turn things off or just turn off the doing.
As random, yesterday I found myself just listening to this podcast. I don't know, it just somehow just popped into my ears. Can't even remember the name of it. And she was talking about how for 2 weeks she completely just shut off her phone, the internet, her business, just put it out of office. And she said how she was talking about how empowering it was to just, because we get so caught in this world. And even what you were just saying there before about it doesn't matter if we're not seen to be doing anything. Because it's a big thing, and with people, I'm just going to speak to the reflector here, but that invisibility of just going, oh, I've got to be seen.
Got to be doing. In fact, what I find is really interesting, and now I've had enough time to experiment with this myself, is that when I'm busy and I'm caught up and I should be, and, you know, I'm really overwhelmed with it, sometimes I find like clients drop off or things don't show up, or I suddenly have this like, oh my goodness. And then of course you get caught in the, oh no, what if I can't be sustainable? I need to do more.
Yeah.
But the moments that I'm really away, like I'm just shut off, it's not that I don't care, but I'm just shut off from having to be caught up in it, or I'm doing something enjoyable and really, that's when I get more people contact me, more noticeable, I get booked out. And so that's just a real, like, it just happens so many times now that it's so obvious to me that that's the way it needs to work. You know, the doing isn't necessarily the attracting.
No.
Overdoing anyway.
And that's a true testament of kind of living in that, what they, you know, alignment. And it's just like your frequency is, let's use the word vibrating, but, you know, it is. It's, I guess you're in that vibratory state. You're in that beautiful, because I know, when I go into a moment and I'm just doing something and you find yourself just smiling for no reason and you're like, okay, I've just spent the last 4 hours creating, I'll use my example. I spent days creating this manual mandala wheel that moves through the thing and I loved it. And then I just dropped it and I'm like, done now. But it was this beautiful, beautiful moment of just pure bliss and for no reason other than I could. That was lovely.
And that, how nice is that to do something just because of the joy, and there's not, It's not for any other reason. And whatever else comes out of it, great, but it's not, that's not what it's about.
Yeah. You were talking there about, you know, in your experiment today to, you know, reflector. Do you still prescribe to a lot of the reflectorism, or have you kind of like moved away from that a lot now?
That's a really good question. And how do I answer that? There's still very key core learnings and lessons, I think, as reflectors. But I think there's a lot of stuff that we get caught up. We get caught up in labels and sometimes in the, look, being so open and wanting to be seen and heard for who we are, I get it. You know, I'm a 1-3, I've lots of trial and error with the 3. When I was younger, you know, I felt like so invisible. I needed to always be seen and heard and tried to put myself out there. And I think that there's a lot of that lack of recognition, that invisibility sometimes still causes us to step into things that aren't really in our best interest and cause us to keep busy and doing and whatever. And I think the biggest teaching for me that still sticks and really resonates as a reflector is very much just about being really consciously aware of where you are and who you're with and just navigating it moment to moment and letting go of shoulds. And sure, have dreams, have things like, oh, this is something I want to do. And great. And if that comes along and it all aligns and it beautifully, but if it doesn't, I let go of attachment to those expectations that I might put on myself.
Mm.
And I think some of us, we're really grappling as reflectors to understand ourselves. And I think this is a great journey. We, you know, it's good for us to do that. What I do see a lot is like, we've got a purpose here. We need to find this. And Ran didn't quite have that elaborated. And yes, I absolutely agree that we are here for a reason, but I think the reason is something that will unfold through us. You know, like the biggest thing that we know that Ra did impart was that we're here as like as that signpost, as that mirror, when other people, other types are ready. When they're ready, they'll see something in us that they'll want to come to us for, whatever it is, the mirroring, the showing. But we can't force it. We can't run up to people and go, hey, I can see this. And see, even though we can, right? And all we can do is just be ready for it, right? Really get ourselves clear and happy and content and present so that when people are ready, when more people, and there are more and more people, right, getting, you know, becoming aware that they can, they'll see in us something. And it's a very, what's the word? We're not actively seeking it. It's like a passive. Yeah. It's a passive way of being. And so it's very hard to sit on your hands and go, okay, well, I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
But when you do it, and this is what I'm noticing more and more, like the stepping back from what I was in the limelight when I was younger and it was like that need, that stepping back and just, you know, you know you're doing these things, no one's noticing, it's going past, but then people start to notice, or someone comes to you and says, you know what, when you did this, this happened, or the thank you for this. Thank you for that. And that's when you know that you're onto something. You don't, you know that what you're actually bringing is something empowering to others. That's the tricky thing, I think, about all of it.
It is a surrendering, isn't it? It's a complete trust and a surrendering. There's been a lot of like murmurings over the last couple of months of certain people doing chart readings for reflectors. And they're using a very similar approach to the projector of wait for an invitation. And, you know, there's been a bit of a rah, but it is what you were just saying. There is a little bit of truth in that because, you know, if we go out and give our opinions, which we have a lot of, it backfires on us really quickly. So it is like a wait for an invitation in a way, a wait to be asked.
Yep.
Because the truth can cut very deeply.
Oh, absolutely. But there is so much truth. Sometimes it's occasionally I've offered things just, you know, you try things, right? You offer a few things. And I can just see either that glazed over, like, what are you talking about? That's not me.
Yeah.
Or that, do you say that to me? Like, you know, that real kind of like, and so it's like it's that timing is so important.
Yeah. It is very, very hard, as you say, to sit on your hands, but it is a trust and surrender. And you know what? I know, I don't know about you, but you couldn't have told me this in my 30s. There's no way I would have listened. I would have been like wool in my ears.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that I'll be honest. That's what I really noticed. Like when I notice humans, like all people, but like reflectors, even particularly the age, the difference in the age. And I've worked with some beautiful reflectors in their 80s. And there's these points in time where there's this just this next layer and level of incredible wisdom that I can't wait to get to in my, in my life, if I'm lucky enough, that something about that surrendering to not knowing, like we don't have to know everything. It's okay to go, you know what? I don't know that. I'm not sure of that yet. I don't think there's anything wrong with really being admitting and being vulnerable with not having it all sorted.
No.
But we think we have to in our 30s, don't we? Well, I certainly felt like I had to know it all.
And even now, like you and I are both the same age, it's just like I'm feeling it. Like I'm really feeling it, this wisdom dropping in, and it feels so good. But at the same time, I'm mindful that this is just the beginning. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, I feel so wise. And it's like, oh, sweetheart, you've got a long way to go.
But that's the beauty in the journey. It's like it's really interesting what we attract and who we get. And I work with a lot of people that are even older than me, as you know, quite a lot. And there's something about the honoring of like, yes, I'm here to help impart something to you. Hopefully, from my younger experience, I can bring something. But geez, they bring me a lot back. Yeah. And I think that's that beautiful sharing gift of what I receive in a lot of the stuff that I give is, I believe, far more than what I'm giving in a lot of ways.
It is. And it's that back and forth that sometimes being the younger person coaching an older person, we feel like that imposter syndrome, or how could we possibly share? But it is a flow back and forth of each sharing, even with the younger generation. It's just different frequencies.
Absolutely. There's so much to get gain.
I want to quickly ask you about the older reflectors that you've had in your work.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that they've just naturally been honoring their process? Like, can you share a little bit about your, obviously confidential?
Sure. I won't share any names. They've all been removed. No. What I've found is that particularly, those that have had a very long, beautiful life is they've been, a lot of them have been the high achiever that we see, like most reflectors that I've met are very powerful. In fact, who did I meet someone the other day that said, oh, every reflector I've ever met is so powerful. Like they could feel the power of the reflector. But of course, it comes with all the other bits that make us not feel so powerful, right?
Yeah.
But when I talk to some older reflectors, about their experiences, they've really been in the flow of being a reflector a lot of their life, sometimes a little exhausted, and they've seen times in their life when they've been really unwell because of that pushing and what have you. But most of them are still wanting to serve. Like I worked with a woman that was, she was in her late 80s, not that long ago actually, who was, how can I serve? What else can I do? Where else can I be? And the wisdom and this woman was saying, I know that I've got something to give. I need help. This is her. I need some support and help. And yet if you saw her career, if you saw what she had achieved in her life, I mean, my jaw was dropping as she just shared those experiences. And I think that's what's beautiful is I really see that we are here to serve. And the way that we serve is asking what people need, and we let them also see in us what we can bring out. That's what I think is beautiful. And people see that in them rather than needing to, there's some very humble, there's a lot of humbling or humbleness that I see in people as they get older.
Yeah.
I think in that mid range, there's a lot of frustration, right? It's like, I've got all of this skill set and this ability and this wisdom, and I want to go and I should be able to go and lead this organization and go and do all of these things. And then we try, we might even do it for a bit, and then suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted.
Yeah, the wheels come off. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, or oh, now I need to change a bit over that. Or
yeah, that's right. Next,
what's on the, what else is there?
It is true that when I first discovered human design, a lot of the thing was, and even now I know they're jokes and they're memes, but it's just like a reflector's got to take naps all the time. When you're the same, when we want to do something, we can make mountains move. But then all of a sudden, it's like, as I was saying to you off air, I've become this sort of non-completionist when things aren't truly in alignment with myself. I get to about a 70-75% mark, and then I'm like, I'm bored. Bored. And I just can't sometimes get things over the line because I just run out of juice. And I hope that fuel's going to come back in. But maybe it's just, that's it. It's just an out of alignment thing, and I've pushed to do it and it didn't really feel good.
Yeah, I think it's, letting go of things that you need to be doing. Like, I think we do things, but I'm okay now if I don't finish something. I'm kind of accepting, well, if it's meant to be finished, something will show back up. And if not, it was an experience.
That's right. It's just another learning, another book on the shelf. Another notebook,
yeah.
That's how I've got all these notebooks. Each time I'm like learning something new or whatever, I have to get a new notebook because that's that category. And then I go, okay, that's another one that I might come back around to. It's fun. It's actually amusing. When you can laugh at yourself, I think that's when it's true acceptance too. And you just go,
oh, gosh, absolutely.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's gotta laugh.
Well, you've been doing this for a while and you're about to approach your second intake of your beautiful mastery course. Can you share with us the Human Design Academy, Australian Academy, which I'm so excited about? Share with us how that's going.
Sure. So I've spent a lot of my life being a teacher. Like I have 25 years plus of teaching. I was a school teacher, even at one point, in adult education later, but I really know that for me, with a lot of my circuitry and things, is I love to share and teach. That's just, it's always been my sweet spot. So I knew that I would be teaching human design one day. I always wanted to, but I never pushed it. I just waited for that right timing. And all the ducks aligned, or the stars aligned, or the moon aligned, or whatever you want to say, so that it all came about. And I started my first cohort 3 months ago. And the program itself, for me, is, as a teacher, I really want to create space for not only learning, but really fully integrating and really being honest and aware and supportive. And I noticed through a lot of my learning experiences, as wonderful as my experiences learning have been, is that I really want people to feel like they've got support to get through and to really, really do what they need, and that there's somewhere there. So the training that I've been delivering, which is about human design, it's all the different elements of human design, so that someone comes out not only knowing all of the bits, they can read charts, but also they really feel like they've got something to step into the world with themselves. I've been able to have this beautiful journey week by week, sharing with this group of women at the moment, helping them, supporting them through training. And I'm delivering it because I've, as having been a teacher and understanding how we learn and how much to drip the right types of information. Manifesting generators, funny, at first, oh, I want it all now. Come on, bring it all now. And I'm like, just trust the process. Give me a couple of weeks. See how you go, you know, then come back. And it's really been wonderful because I get that feedback now. Oh my goodness, the way you're dropping this is really working for me. Like, I wanted to jump ahead. You gave me some extra information that I personally could go on because I needed to, but you've supported me in that. And I think that's the beautiful thing. It's like being aware of what people need, yeah, being in space, you know what it's like as a reflector, right? Being in the space with people going, okay, I can see, you know, who needs a little more time, who needs to go, you know, speed ahead with a bit more stimulating information or what have you, and just being in that space. So for me, that's my sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
I love being in that space with those powerful women in the group. And as I said, learning as much from them as I'm hopefully imparting.
Yeah, I love that you're a teaching to design as well, in the sense that you understand them. You understand that the manifesting generator is going to want to get to the end, but they're going to miss all these steps. So you just know.
That's it. Absolutely.
And I guess the beautiful thing is, you're holding hands with these people. You know their type. You know how to look at their chart quickly and go, right, this is how you're going to learn, or this is how you're going to learn. Oh, I love it. I love it. So when is the next offering?
The next one starts the 25th of September. So when I say it starts that week, so it's, you know, I have live sessions each week. We work out the time based on the needs of the group. So I don't predetermine that.
Great.
And yeah, it's very, very much about, as I said, it's very much focused on them. I think the biggest thing about this is I've not been heavily marketing. It just doesn't feel right to be at this point. But everything that's come through has been from repeat, you know, people that keep coming back from referrals and things like that. And to me, that's been where I've really wanted it to come from people that trust you, that really feel like they've, you know, we've all got different people that we serve, right? Yes. And I think that's what's beautiful. There's plenty of people for us all to serve
in our own way.
And whoever your people are, or my people are, or this person's people are, that they show up.
Yeah. And so I love that you mentioned trust, because it is about that. Like, people have learned to trust you. We know who you are. I think that's really important for a reflector that just can kind of bounce in there, because especially if they've got a fifth line, it's like, well, who's this coming in, you know, steamrolling in?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really exciting. As I always do, I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you have any additional wisdom that you would like to share with this community?
Let me think. I did have something earlier that popped into my mind. What was I going to say?
I mean, you've already shared such amazing insights as it is.
just to see. I think one of the things that's really important today now is that as a community, we don't get stuck up on all of the detail of the language of the what and the and all of that, but stay true to who we are as ourselves, regardless, like letting go. I think the best thing we can do is let go, right? Really let go. What do they say? When the moon is waxing, we take in, we nourish more. When the moon is waning, we let go, we release. The more I think we can just let go of all of those ideas, musts, shoulds, beliefs and what have you, I think the more we can stay just really okay with who we are. I feel like as a 1-3, someone who really learned early in life and had some stuff that happened that really triggered me into learning, that at one point I just, before I even knew about human design, I realized that this is who I am. And I'm not changing it. I can't change it. This is who I need to be. And when you're bumping up against other people who think you should be different, who don't know human design, you can't say, hey, I'm a reflector, right? They'll just look at you and go, what are you talking about? Oh, you're someone that's not supposed to do too much. Oh, of course you are, right? You've got to empower yourself. And if we look at human design as a whole, you know, like the individual circuitry, the integration circuitry is about us being very much empowered, whether it's self-empowered or just doing our thing and therefore empowering others around us. And then, you know, the tribal energy is here to support. And then, of course, the collective energy is here to share, right? To share what we learn. And so regardless of what we've got in our chart, like sometimes if we're really heavily individual, we're here to mutate. We're here to bring change, but only by really, really being, you know, really being attached into who we are. And I think the trouble with that is because that doesn't happen all the time, right? We're not mutating and changing all the time. I think it can become really depressing when we're not making something. It's very, you know, that melancholic down kind of. And I think if people can just find something creative to catch on to and allow themselves to express, if they've got a lot of individual talent, that's all that's important. Things happen, and just because they're not happening now, and just because you've got to wait and you see everybody else going faster than you, you know, I still think of us like that tortoise, right? We're just taking our little tiny tortoise steps, but guess what? We're getting there. We're sustainable. And we reach the end, and whatever the end is, the goal. And I think I see lots of reflectors now really wanting to have impact now, wanting to do something now, wanting to be something now. And yet the thing to be is to unpeel and to unpack and let people see you, right? Because they won't help but notice you. I'm sure you've had that experience.
I love that you're saying, because just in my journey as well, it's like it's never ending. There's always something more to unpack. And I love that you mentioned circuitry, because especially I feel for reflectors, we don't have any centers to kind of anchor into. That's the terminology I like to use, whereas we can anchor into all these other things. So I really love that you brought that up. And And I guess a lot of people, they want to know it all right now. I did, still do, I'm honest, but it is a lived experience and it just takes time. But as you were mentioning, like once you get into the circuitry, even really going through those gates and I've even taken it so far as to actually read the I Ching and the variation of that because it gives a different spin on it.
It's a great
just to play around with it, play around with your chart. Hey, just enjoy you.
And also like what I say is even if you were to learn and be amazing at memorization, you could take all of it in, and there's a lot of information, right? It still doesn't sink in. So I just say to people, just feel into it first. Look at it. What do you see? How does it feel? And start there. Knowledge is fabulous, but it's not everything, right? It's the, as we know, it's all about feeling and the body stuff anyway. So responding with the body and just tuning into that, I think, is so much more value than trying to intellectually understand everything. I think that, I'll be really honest, what I notice with when I work with younger people is, and it reminds me of me, so it's not like there's no judgment there by any means. It's like coming out of university. You know, I did 3 degrees, like coming out, oh, I know this and I know this. And I knew a lot. I had a lot of knowledge, right, because of that. But it's like, well, this is the knowledge. This is how it needs to be applied, or this is what this means. And the thing we'll learn, right, is that the knowledge is great, but then when we live the experience, often it's kind of different, right? It's not necessarily like that. So if we get out of the textbook learning of what this means I am this and this. Maybe it does a bit, maybe it doesn't, but there's more to it. There's far more layers. And I think that's what wisdom does or gives us, right? And I really think it's that shift, that 38 to 43, when we move through the cross, that it's just that wisdom to go, okay. It's okay not to say you know it all, right? It's okay. Can I share something with you?
Yes.
I had this beautiful client, and I think he's studying human design. He's always been on his journey. He came back for something, and we had a session. And he said at the end of it, he asked me a question about some very, very complicated piece of something very deep that I'm like, I really hadn't studied. To me, it was just, there's a lot of information. And I just said to him, you know what? I'm not sure. I don't know. That might be something you need to go and, but anyway. And his face just dropped and he was like, you don't know. You've just admitted to me you don't know something, and you've been honest. And it was like he saw what he wanted to do in his practice in, helping people with human design. He doesn't know everything. Yeah. And yet he felt like he had to show that he knew it all.
Yeah.
And I think there's vulnerability in going, you know what? We don't know it all. I mean, even if we know it all, we probably don't know it all. Yeah. And I learned that in the classroom with school children, right? When you're with teenagers, because I was a high school teacher at one point, when you go, someone asks you that question, you're like, I'm not sure. And it's demonstrating that it's okay to not be fully across everything. We've still got heaps to learn, right? I mean, as old as we're getting.
I'm excited about that though. I get excited about not knowing things. And I think that is it's a trust. It comes down to a trust thing by saying, admitting to someone, well, that's a really good question. I'm going to check that out because I don't know. Yeah. But then I get excited because I'm like, oh, I can go down another rabbit hole. But I love that as well. Like the more I sort of like chunk into my chart, and it was only even last year, I really dove into all of my lines and realized how many third lines I've got. Because I really identify with the 3-5. Like one of my daughters is a 3-5, and I'm like, you know what? You are walking me. And then I look at all the third lines and I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yes. Uh-huh.
and it's an acceptance of self to go, I need to make this messy.
Yes.
Like, because it's a contradiction sometimes, because I've got to have it done perfectly, but it's like my process has to be messy. So allow yourself to be messy and make mistakes and make typos in things. I'm shocking for typos. And I've always had that shame. Oh my gosh, I just put that out with a typo. And now I just go, oh, there's the third lines coming out.
That's it. Just like wear it, right? Where, I mean, I worked in big corporate organizations where it's all this, and every now and then you make a mistake. The best thing you can do is just wear it, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're human. I think that's the 3 line is It's such a beautiful line because, you know, having three myself, I think that's my third. It's my profile, but it's my third biggest gate. I've actually got 10 ones in my chart and then lots of sixes, which is really interesting. And then threes, but three's part of my profile. But I get that. Like, to me, I'm happy to make mistakes. I'm happy to bump into things, right? Yeah. I think it's, to me, part of the juiciness of it all.
Well, I'm learning to accept that, but it's taken me a very long time to get there. That bloody fifth line always comes out. It's just like, no. But it's like, oh, well, what are they going to do? Burn me?
Well, that's it. And that, yeah, the fifth's a beautiful line anyway, very powerful. So
three, five, I love eight, having these chats with you. It's always such fun when we can just get together and just nerd out.
Absolutely.
Or is it geek out? Nerd or geek, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. We can make up our own. It's nerdy and geeky out. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for dropping by and sharing what you've been up to and all this exciting stuff. And for anybody looking to have that deep dive, because it's 6 months, isn't it, this your program? Yeah. From a very respected and trusted teacher.
plug.
Oh no, it's true. It's, you know, your work's been around for quite some years, and you are, you know, a leading authority on a lot of this stuff, and you're trusted because of that. So that's not a plug. That's a genuine compliment.
I'm not very good at those, but I really appreciate it. I appreciate you as well for all your sharing and the learning that you're bringing to the world. I think is wonderful that we're all getting to see other reflectors and be able to relate. I think that's such a beautiful, expansive area that you've brought to the world.
Yeah. And as I said, it's 2 years. So it's nearly 2 years since you debuted at number one. It's like, wow, and I'm still going. I've had little breaks though, but I love it. Again, it's not about anything. It's just about sharing our voices and our vulnerability. So it's been a big lesson for me to be able to be vulnerable. Like, without the last 2 years of sort of opening myself up to the world, I probably would have still been stuck. So it's, as you were saying, with people you work with, it's a healing, it's a mutual healing space.
So, yeah. And we need to talk it out, right? So I think it's a beautiful process.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, as like you, it's you know, it's not just about reflectors. It's about everybody, every type, every human being. And I agree with what you were saying there earlier about labels. We can get caught in those. We get caught in the, oh, well, I'm a reflector. You kind of move on from that a little bit. Sometimes it still comes out, but it's like, oh, well, we're all learning.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you, dear soul. No worries. I look forward to reconnecting with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Annie.